8686.
Welcome to On to Perfection, the radio ministry of Resurrection Life Family Worship Center. I'm Trevor Banks, and I'm glad you've joined us for today's broadcast, and I trust you'll be blessed by the message. Remember the 12 characteristics of the king? We may go over that again another time, but before you can act like a king, before you can mandate things of a king, you must first develop a king's mentality. The first thing about a king, and these are not numbers, I'm going to give you some next time, maybe 12 of them, but kings are, first of all, overcomers. Kings have results after they believe it, not after they see it. They are overcomers. They have results after they believe it, not after they see it. Anybody can have results and enjoy results after they see it. But the kings, they believe it first, and they're not going to accept anything contrary to that. Quickly, well, not so quickly, but I want to start giving you the characteristics of the mind of a king. Can I give you 12? I might not have time to give them all to you tonight, but I want to give you start giving you the characteristics of the mind of a king. The first thing that, you know, when we talk about kings again, we're not talking about like the kings of the earth. We're talking about the kings in the kingdom of God. And the first and foremost thing that God showed me concerning the characteristics of that mind of a king has peace. A king is not pacing and anxious and worried and fretful and disturbed. All those things that people are suffering in the world, distressed. Now, the first thing about a king, Isaiah 26:3, a king has peace. We don't operate from a position of anxiety or desperation or hatred or anything of the flesh, carnality. We operate from a mind of peace. Do you know, there's a whole lot more that God can get to you if your mind is at peace. You're not even thinking right. You know how it is when your mind starts racing and stuff. You have to arrest that. Because that's not God. That's you. That's your carnal mind. And sometimes the devil tries to jump in there with fear and all kind of confusion. But when you settle yourself and you allow the peace of God to rule in your mind, now, that's one of the attributes of a king. What does it say about a king? Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusts in thee. That's where it starts. When you trust in God. God ordained this thing. God has made me a king. Not me myself. God has to back me up. God affirms me. So why all the anxiety? Why all the fretting? Why all the impatience? Why all the racing if God is in control? An indication that God is in control. You got peace. Now, that doesn't mean that everybody's personality is alike. Somebody can be walking around, they walk fast, but they can be at peace. Huh? They may talk fast. That don't mean that they're not at peace. Whereas somebody else just kind of, you know, drags along. And you think they're at peace. They could be worried, afraid. So it's not personality. It goes deeper than that. It has to do with you allowing the kingdom that is within you to rule. You know, so often I've experienced it where we get in a hurry with stuff and, you know, we find out that God is in control even though we weren't in control. Or we rest in the Lord and it seemed like we're running late for something or going to miss out on something. And in actuality, it was God's perfect time. What is God saying? I will keep you in perfect peace. If you've been in our first School of Stature class, you see where God is outside of time. Time has no factor there. Amen. He can manipulate time. He can bend time. He can stop time. He can accelerate time. Whatever you like to do, whatever's needful for his child. Amen. So stop worrying about that. Amen. So peace. Number two, God gave me the mind of a king, and the characteristic of a renewed mind is a mind to work. That's Nehemiah 4:6, a mind to work. A king has a mind to work. Nehemiah 4:6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto the half thereof, for the people had a mind to work. had a mind to work, having a mind to work, having a mind to put into action what we have learned. Amen. Again, we eat an elephant, if I can say that. I know that ain't in the Bible. That ain't in the Bible. It's in my Bible. It's a good example. You eat an elephant, if we ate elephants, you'd have to eat it a bite at a time. Even if you buy a steak, you don't just gobble the steak down one big gulp. You eat it a bite at a time, right? You got these sense, you do. How do you eat your food? A bite at a time. You chew it up. But you have to, you know, you got a lot to do, but you do it one bite at a time. Trusting God, acknowledging God, moving with the Spirit of God. You know, if we took and put a big pile of sand off the beach right over here and took just a pebble of it and walked it over to here, it seemed like if we were going to do that, we'd be forever. But there would come a day, I don't know when. I don't know how long it would take, but there will come a day where you are getting that last little pebble up from there and taking it over here and putting it over there. It would happen, a pebble at a time. So we want to keep ourselves under his peace and not be, you see, because the world is doing stuff wrong. They're doing it based on greed and carnality and all of that stuff, and we don't want to operate like that. Therefore, we want to keep ourselves in peace. And we want to maintain a mind to work. Number three, God showed me this in Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Not only do kings have peace coupled with a mind to work, but they also have a ready mind. Acts 17, 11, a ready mind. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they received the word with all readiness of mind. And search the scriptures daily whether those things were so. They received the word with readiness of mind. You didn't have to, you know, show me this. Give me 12 scriptures on it. You know, do this. You know, no, I don't believe that. I don't see that. No, they received the word with readiness of mind. But what they did, they went and searched it for themselves. So see, it wasn't a matter of just being blind and receiving everything. No, they had a readiness of mind. But they didn't leave it like that. They said, okay, this is what we've received. Now let's go home and we're going to make a study of this. And they searched the scriptures to see if those things were so. But see, when we come in, instead of trying to judge everything and trying to, you know, compare everything to what you learned in the past or at your old church or something, have a readiness of mind. God won't let me be deceived. God won't let me go astray. God will get to me what I need to have. But see, that readiness of mind will get stuff to you you need to hear. Amen. When you don't have readiness of mind, you what you need to hear, you ain't hearing it. Because your mind's not ready. Your answer will come a lot of times in strange packages. In ways that you didn't think. But if you got readiness of mind, you say, whoa, I see. Amen? Number four, which is very important. I think one of the most important is a humble mind. Acts chapter 20, verse 19. A humble mind. Not humble, you know how we say it. A humble, humble mind. What is that? Serving the Lord with all. Somebody say, with all. Humility of mind. And with many tears and temptations which befell me by the lying and weight of the Jews. Serving the Lord with all humility of mind. We want to define humility. I tell you, humility is such a strong force. Moses was at the time, and this is God's testimony of him, he was the meekest man on the earth. Every time somebody in the congregation of Israel rose up against him, don't you know Moses could have just stretched out the rod? God would have struck him with lightning. God told him one time, Moses, I'm killing everybody. He said, I'm going to kill everybody but you, and I'll raise up another whole company. God said that to Moses. Moses said, Lord, don't do that. But the times, even when Miriam and Aaron, his brother, came against him, and Dathan and Korah and all these rose up against him, accusing him, what would he do? He and Aaron would fall on their face. You know, let me tell you something. Humility is an indication that somebody's been with God. Because, see, somebody that's not been with God, they're going to try to defend themselves. No, you ain't. But somebody that fall on their face, you better leave them alone. Amen. You hear what I'm saying? Somebody that's walking in true humility, lead, don't mess with them. Don't be messing with them, you know, trying to poke and pry and do them wrong. Because, see, people think humility is stupidity. That means a person has gotten close to God. I'm not talking about humble. I'm talking about true humility. They've gotten close to God, and God says, touch not my anointed. You get yourself in trouble. See, because they can't afford to get in the mess. They can't afford to get in a mess with you. Amen. And so they don't sometimes even speak up for themselves. It's like when Jesus, he was being reviled. The Bible says in the book of Peter, when he was reviled, he didn't revile again. When he was threatened, he didn't threaten back. He committed himself to him that judges righteously. That's the example we're to follow. See, that's the mind of a king. You don't trouble or soil yourself with a bunch of petty stuff. And it's not that you condescend to people. It's not that people are beneath you. No, you just don't get into stupid stuff. Why? You're a king. You got to be ruling. You got to be reigning. You got to be governing your life. You got to be governing your mind. There's territories. We're going to get into domains. There are things that God has for you to rule, for you to be the best at, for you to govern it, for you to own. Amen. But here you are messing around with all the petty stuff, and it's not arrogance, it's royalty. You know, you try to run up on the White House lawn if you want to. You just sneak up in there going to see the president. No, there's all kind of protocols. All kind of, you most likely won't see him. You know, but you just don't walk up on him. Hey, Barack, I came to talk to you. Man, you'd be shot full of holes. Why, royalty? And, you know, you carry yourself in a way as a king, even with one another, where we relate on a level of goodness, of kindness, of esteem. Not fighting, that's for the gutter. That's for folk ain't got no home training. Amen. Thank you for joining us as we continue in our series, Kingdom of Kings, Part 6, The Mind of a King. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. Kings walk in victory, and most importantly, a king thinks in victory. You have the power to act, the right to judge, and administrate, and the right to enforce the word of God. There are several mindsets that every king possesses. Number one, a king has peace. Number two, a king has a mind to work. Number three, a king has a ready mind. Number four, a king has a humble mind. And finally, number five, a king has a spiritual mind. You are a king. Now exercise your authority. Thank you for listening to today's message. And for more information or more messages from On to Perfection, call toll free 1-877-TR-BANKS or visit our website at trbanks.com. And always remember, God will perfect that which concerns you.